אנחנו קוראים בספר
We are reading in Zohar for all. Vayakhel Aleph, letter 118. You can ask questions at kab.tv and selected questions related to the study materials will be aired live. Zohar for all. Vayakhel Aleph. Item 118, article, the intention of the prayer. Kavanat HaTfilah.
What do you want from me? Why are you looking at me like that? No, I'm asking.
Usually, at this point in the lesson, you give us a certain direction.
Direction? And why do I need to give direction? Well, I'm asking.
So that all of us will have the same intention and so that we would produce from the study the connection and the revelation of the Creator.
What is yet not clear that you need that direction from me? Well, you are the reader. So you are calling everyone forward, ahead. So tell me.
What's unclear?
Yes. Otherwise, I wouldn't know what to say. So I'm asking you, what are you as the reader, the narrator that narrates people, can... what do you think I should say?
That we are now in a very important time of studying the book of Zohar.
Well, say it. Great.
We are now during a very important time of studying the book of Zohar, and also with us at the same time while we are reading, there is a round table in Toronto and in New York, and we're also thinking about the friends that we want to be connected with us above all the corporeal problems that appear. And we want to discover the Creator between us through the connection so that He would appear now in the study like it was at the time of those who wrote it.
I moved by it more than when I'm talking about it. So that's great. Let's think about it. Yes.
118.
Hold on. What's 118?
The book of Zohar, Vayakhel, Aleph, Part 1. Article, Kavanat HaTfilah, the intention of the prayer.
Oh, that's important to say. So the article, the intention of the prayer, from the book of Zohar, portion Vayikahel, item 118.
Rabbi Abba said, Wow, Rabbi Shimon, you are alive and I'm already weeping for you. I'm not weeping for you as I am weeping for the friends, and I am weeping for the world that will remain orphans after your departure from the world. Rabbi Shimon is like the light of a candle that burns above and burns below. All the people of the world shine in that light that it lit below. Woe unto the world when the light below departs and comes into the light of above. Who will shine the light of Torah for the world? 119.
Well, of course, we're not talking of the corporeal departure, because what that has to do with anything. Rather, we are speaking of the gap between the degrees. As Elijah, when there is a departure of Ahab of the upper one from Gilgal Tanaim of the lower one, and say that connection was torn, then indeed in the lower one there's a problem that only, say, a miracle would come and that connection would be renewed, then it will help, because the lower one is incapable of doing anything by itself. Rather, only to the extent that the upper one shines upon him, that he attracts him, that the upper one makes an action with him. The lower one never has the power. He can ask to the extent that the upper one shine upon him. He can hold on to the upper one to the extent that the upper one gives him the ability to grip onto him, etc. The lower one is always in helplessness. To understand it, to attain it, to discover that indeed there is none else but Him, and that He is the first and He is the last. This is the great work. Accordingly, the low one already began to behave correctly with respect to the upper one. Basically, this is our whole work that brings us to adhesion, to the extent that we discover dependency through all our aspects to the upper one, to that extent that adhesion turning, this dependency turns into adhesion.
119. And let every wise-hearted man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. When the Creator said to Moses, "Choose wise and intelligent and full of knowledge men from your tribes," he looked through all of Israel and could not find any intelligent ones. As it is written, "And I took the heads of your tribes, wise men and full of knowledge." But it does not write intelligent. An intelligent one is a higher degree than a wise one. Hence he could not find intelligent ones, for an intelligent one is more important than a wise one. 120. What is the difference between wise and intelligent? Even a disciple who makes his teacher wise is considered wise. Wise means one who knows for himself all that he needs. Intelligent consists of several degrees, because he looks at everything and knows about himself and about others, as it is written, "The righteous knows the soul of his beast." The righteous, Yesod, imparts from Malchut upon Malchut Havaya, the bone, for a beast, in Hebrew Behema, is bone in Gematria, 52. It is also written, "The righteous rules the fear of God." The righteous, Yesod, rules and gives to Malchut, who is called the fear of God. A wise one is regarding Malchut, who is called wise-hearted, wise at heart. Since the Chokhmah, wisdom, is in the heart, in Malchut, and not elsewhere. Intelligent means above and below, looking at his own and at that of others. A wise one is Malchut, from whom the Chokhmah appears, and an intelligent one is Yesod, righteous, higher than Malchut.
Where although he bestows Chokhmah, but in itself, inside of it, it is not revealed, rather it is revealed particularly in Malchut. This is the matter of wise and clever.
It is known that Chokhmah in Malchut illuminates only from below upwards, which is why it was said that the righteous knows for himself all that he needs, meaning he knows only for himself, and cannot bestow below upon others, wise at heart and not elsewhere, because the heart, Malchut, receives from below upwards, and not from above downwards, which is another place.
To the extent that Malchut cleave on to Yesod.
The Yesod, intelligent, gives the chasadim from above downwards, receiving from himself and giving below to others, to Malchut. As it is written, "The righteous knows the soul of his beast." And as it is written, "The righteous rules the fear of God."
Clear, yes? Questions? None? Not about intentions or anything? Well, niv navon, everything's all right. No questions. Wonderful. Everyone is calm. The Torah starts to work, I see.
The questions from the United States, can we understand from this that we are actually seeing, I mean, the actions made by others, and we can understand these actions? I mean, through that, can we feel life? Through things that we see outside of ourselves?
Again?
He's asking, if so, do we actually see in all the actions that are done only by others and understanding these actions, can we through these actions feel life only from the actions that we see outside of ourselves?
Uh, Is that from New York?
Well, it's unclear. It's just the internet address.
I don't know what height does he ask. We are revealing. I'll answer in simple. So that for my answer it would be understood. Maybe that's the question. Just as in our world, we are discovering, not the world. Rather, we are discovering all that the previous generations have done. From the zero, as we don't know the world in the zero state, up to date, we are taking the world as it is populated. Accordingly, the way it's set. Accordingly, spirituality, we're entering spirituality. We are not entering a so-called wild world, rather. We are entering with the same preparation that all the previous generations have performed. Hence, the lower one, once entering a spiritual degree, by that he received clothing from the upper one, and he enters with those clothings. He doesn't see the whole world, rather he see the world, a world, rather he see a world that is already populated and is arranged towards with respect to him or for him. Well, that's enough. If there's no more questions, I don't want to talk too much.
Article Aliyat HaTfilah, the Ascent of the Prayer, 121. And he said unto me, You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. This concerns the prayer that one should pray before the Creator, which is one great work, more honored than the work of his master. There is the work of the Creator, that is, in the work of the body, meaning the mitzvot that depend on an action. And there is the work of the Creator that is more internal work, which is the most important, meaning mitzvot that depend on speech and on the will of the heart. 122. There are 12 organs in a body that stand in the work of the body. These are the two hands, the two legs, in each of which are 3 joints, and 4 times 3 are 12. These are the organs of the body. The work of the Creator, the mitzvot that depend on an action, is in them, since the work of the Creator is in 2 bechinot, discernments. 1. The external organs of the body. These are the 12 organs in the hands and the legs. 2. 12 others, internal organs, in the insides of the body, that are the brain, heart, liver, mouth, tongue, 5 lobes of the lungs, and 2 kidneys. These are corrections within the body, in which to establish the correction of Ruach, spirit, which is the glorified inner work of the Creator, meaning mitzvot that depend on a speech, such as praying, blessings, and giving thanks. 123. A man's work is the work of the Ruach, spirit, work from Bechina Bet, which depends on the speech. It is in high secrets, and people do not know that a man's prayer breaches airs and breaches firmaments, opens doors, and rises up. 124. When the morning light rises, and the light departs from the darkness, a herald walks through all the firmaments and calls, Set yourselves up, rulers of the door, rulers of the palaces, each on his watch. Since those who govern during the day are not those who govern at night. When the night comes, the rulers of the day depart, and other rulers which govern in the night are appointed. They replace one another. 125.
Here we have a question in general. Where here is man's work? we are talking of the ascent of the prayer. What does it mean, rising prayer? The prayer exists or doesn't exist? Well, prayer is the work in the heart. Scrutinies. Based on what is revealed to man. If nothing is revealed, then there are no scrutinies. Meaning, a desire to receive certain data, and begin to process it. It feels it and give it values. That's good, that's bad. Why is it good? Why is it bad? Is it right for me to basically discern that this is good and this is bad? Good or bad for whom? Maybe I need to invert those values so that what seems to me as bad would be good and what seems to me as good would be bad. How do I work against my desire that is now felt as my own? How am I scrutinizing that my desire isn't mine, rather it was given to me, that it is the alien for control force that stuck to me so much so that I feel that it and I are one of the same? How do I peel it off myself and remove it from myself and start seeing it from the side as the evil incarnation, as my enemy entered me in such way, like cancer is something that put me to death and I must get rid of it and I'm incapable, as it is truly there between all the cells everywhere. How do I get it out? The person who does that very meticulous inner work continuously to scrutinize the true good and bad with respect to the Creator, with respect to spirituality and eternality, not what seems to him now is in a transient manner, rather that as if now he's just sold out, he's just addicted, that he's entirely in lies and etc., as he was confused to start with. The evil incarnation lay at its doorstep, as if just as he was born, the evil incarnation already attached to it, and he doesn't think of it as bad. So all these scrutinies one does are all scrutinies of the prayer. The sorting out the prayer. And they're all are bestowing upon upper Pratsufim from the Adam, because from them he receives all kind of illuminations that are the ones bringing to man all kind of thoughts, scrutinies, sensations, intellectual ones, and accordingly he advances. So if a person in general is just a desire with intentions, with qualities or manners, so where here is his work? Hence we learn that the free choice is to be organized on the degree of this world, so-called what's in his reach, in his possession. So try, work against the desire, worship that desire, to disconnect oneself to the extent one is capable from the desire, and to build, bestow out of oneself, from meaning instead of the upper one bestowing upon me, being it is called in due time. So instead of the influence of the upper one, I want to perform above me a different higher one called environment. And this environment will be in my control. And my force and pace of advancement through that system then will be called, I would hasten it, independent from fortunes, or rather, Israel is the one called above all these charms and fortune telling. Rather, I'm adhering to the new upper one. In the upper one, there's a force called the Creator, towards which I can turn and demand of him. This is called my sons has defeated me. Through the system I'm building, and also for him to affect me. So it turns out that here, from below, I begin to determine the steps, the manners, and the pace of advancement, of my advancement towards adhesion with the Creator. And this work is basically the whole of man's work. The Zohar doesn't tell us what we are doing in this world, meaning in our state, in the Gramin, is always what is called this world. There is this general world, but there is where the I exist, where I am existing, and the next degree is called the next world. So the Zohar doesn't tell me about the actions I'm performing in the state called this world. Rather, it tells me what actions am I causing in the upper system. So why do we need to know it so much? To the extent that we learn the actions of the upper one and are connected to those actions, we are evoking them. However, this is after we are in contact with it. After we have tried to some extent to build the system of connection, meaning the environment, through which we are connecting to these higher degrees. Well, the truth is, we can say that we haven't actually built anything, rather we intend towards doing it, and this is also, the system exists, and the system from above is arranged and is a so-called in standby. It's like in this idling state, like a preparation, waiting state. Hence, it's worthwhile studying it and knowing that this is what will happen should we connect correctly to the upper one. Well, let's continue.
125. It is written, the great light for the governance of the day and the lesser light for the government of the night. The governance of the day and the governance of the night are appointed rulers in the day and appointed rulers in the night.
Both the state of day and the state of night.
126. When the night arrives, a herald comes out. Set yourselves up, rulers of the night, each on his watch. And when the day rises, a herald comes out. Set yourselves up, rulers of the day, each on his watch. And when the herald announces, each is appointed his place. At that time, divinity rushes and comes down, and Israel come into the house of assembly to praise their master. They begin with songs and praises.
Meaning the order of actions that are activated from above, and in accordance with their activation, we have the consequences below.
127. Once a man has set himself up in the work of actions, meaning the first discernment, b'china aleph, in the correction of mitzvah and kedusha, which are tzitzit and tefillin, he should unite his heart in a correction of the inner work of his master, the second discernment, b'china bet, and place his heart and will on that work of those words in the praises, since the speech ascends.
Well, that already speaks of high degrees where Malchut and Zeranpin start to work together. He says the day appears, meaning the revelation of the light of Chochmah and the light of Chassadim. And it begins already, begins the attainment of the Creator on the part of the creature. So this is the day. And then Tfilin, Talit are these corrections in the unity between them.
Mm-hmm. 128. Those appointees who stand in the air are appointed to the four directions of the world. One appointee is appointed to the east. He stands in the air on that side, and his name is Gzardia. There are 20 other appointed ministers with them, awaiting the saying of the prayer, which rises in the air on that side, and that appointee takes it. 129. If it is a worthy speech, all those ministers kiss that speech and rise with it to the air of the firmament above, where there are other appointed ministers. When they kiss that speech, they start and say, "Happy are you, Israel, for you know how to crown your master with holy crowns. Happy is the mouth from which the words of this crown has come out."
Meaning, well, Zivug de Neshikin, we know it. Yes, it's one of the couplings. Zivug of Neshikim, Zivug of Yesodot, spiritual Zivug, corporal Zivug. So if these actions already come to Zivug de Neshikin, then we have revelations which are done by these ministers, and the names of the angels are the formula of the revelation. Then, because a name is an expression of the degree. Questions? Well, you have time for one question.
I just wanted to point out that, nonetheless, the one who asked before was from Kabul. We have students from Israel, and Francisco from Italy are asking, how precisely do I see that the ego is bad? How does a person begin to do the work where he stops identifying with his ego?
This is a very harsh, prolonged period for the average person. Even psychologists who like to talk about the fact that as if they are objective, or they are people whom as if can look at themselves from the side and tell about themselves as if in third person. Nevertheless, it's not what we are talking about in our work. Rather here, there truly has to be the influence of the light that gives the person the sensation and the understanding of that what's in man's nature from birth isn't quite belong to the person. Rather, it was given to him in order for him to work with it like with an alien object or foreign body. And here there must be, well, it's a great prolonged work when one stops identifying with himself and starts seeing himself, his qualities, as given to him from above, from the outside. And the truth is that life becomes much easier and harder at the same time, because then, well, what should I feel shame for? What should I care for? What should I regret for? Meaning here we must acquire immediately new values where we will truly begin to work on the true body, and with respect to it, there will be also shame, sorrow, and joy, not with respect to the previous body. And we'll move to the next part.
Moving to the next part from Tess.